Good evening.
Evening.
Thank you all for being here, and I want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity to preach. If you would, please turn to John 4. Don't stand just yet. John chapter 4. This is a familiar passage, but Jesus has been in Judea, but the Pharisees have heard that Jesus has made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist. And that was quite an achievement in those days. Jesus knew about this, so he left Judea and went to Galilee. After getting to Galilee, we find that he must needs go through Samaria. So he went through Samaria, and he came to a city named Sychar. His disciples went into the city to get food, and he sat down on Jacob's well there, because he was wearied from his journey. Then a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus then began to have a conversation about this woman with the water in the well. We're going to call this earthly water. And she was drinking this water. And he also had a conversation. This conversation was also about his living water. We're going to pick up here in the text when we read it. But I want you to see one more thing, and that is that this woman was not saved at this point. And we can see that in John 4, verses 9 and 10. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This is where we're going to pick up. So if you all would please stand. We'll start reading in verse number 4, and we're going to read until verse number 26. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 26. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me the drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. Quite a statement there. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. We've already prayed numerous times, forgot to bless the service, so y'all can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence of God's word. So I just gave you the introduction before the text. So we're going to get right into the message. Roman numeral 1, lost man in his earthly water. Lost man in his earthly water. Firstly, I want us to see that Christ is using the water in Jacob's well as an illustration. We know this because he uses living water in this text as an illustration as well. And we know that living water is an illustration. Now, you might be asking, how do you know this? Well, thank you for asking. We see in John 4, 13 and 14, that this living water shall be in the person who drinks it a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, the word well here is not the type of well that we usually think of. It means a spring or a fountain. The word springing up here, it means gushing or springing up. The word into here is defined by Webster's 1828 dictionary as meaning noting entrance or a passing from the outside of a thing to its interior parts. Now, the reason why this is important is because this spring will be in the person who drinks it, a fountain of living water that is springing up not in this life only, but in everlasting life. So that is gives us the first clue about what this living water is. The second clue is what the Word of God says in John 6:35. If you would, please turn there. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall shall never thirst. And this corresponds exactly with what John 4:14 said, which is, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. So we can conclude that this living water is salvation. Now we can see what salvation is in John 3:14-18. If you would please turn there. Most of us probably already know what this is, but in case there's someone here who doesn't, we'll read the text. Starting in verse 14 of John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Excuse me. Now if you turn to Romans 10:9-13. Again, this is in case someone here doesn't know what salvation is. So we've seen what believing in Christ is. We saw that in John 3. Now we'll see how to be saved. Starting in verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that is how to be saved. Now, we'll move on to our second point. So we saw first that Jesus is using this water in the well as an illustration. Secondly, we'll see that this water in Jacob's well is an illustration of everything else that tries to fill the hole in our hearts before we are saved. The reason why we know this, the first reason, is that Jesus Christ used water for this illustration. He could have chosen something else, but he chose water. And so from that we can conclude first that each water, earthly water and living water, will satisfy us, even if it's temporarily. We require one of them as a necessity in order to function in our day-to-day lives. And then thirdly, They are each such a necessity that we cannot live long without them, or without one of them. The second reason we know that this illustration of earthly water is an illustration of everything else that tries to fill the hole in our heart before salvation is from the characteristics of this earthly water, which are described in verses 5 through 18 of John 4. We aren't going to look at the characteristics in this point, because we're going to look at them in the next point. So, the next point, number 3. I want you to see the characteristics of this earthly water in Lost Man. So, the first characteristic is that earthly water is found at a location, not with a person. And we see that in verses 5 through 6, because the water was at Jacob's well. Secondly, earthly water will take a person to lengths to get it. First, it will cause one to seek out means to get it. We see that in verse 7, then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And in verse 11, thou hast nothing to draw with. And then secondly, we see that it will cause one to work for it. We see this again in verse 7, then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And then also in verse 11, and the well is deep. Thirdly, earthly water keeps one from God. We've seen this because the woman at the well is not saved. Fourthly, lost man, the one who's still drinking earthly water, who hasn't had living water, he scoffs at the idea, first, of the real God who is greater than anyone else. And we see this in verse 12, where the woman mockingly says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" And then we also see that lost man scoffs at the idea of the real God that can do real works. And we see this in verse 11 and also in verse 12, again, where the woman at the well says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" And then fifthly, we see that earthly water never satisfies. And we see that in verse 13, where Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Then sixthly, earthly water is tied to the here and now. Now Jacob's well was there. We see that in verses 5 through 6. Seventhly, earthly water causes its drinker to view things from a worldly perspective. And we see that in verses 14 through 15, where if you'll notice, before this, Jesus offered salvation to this woman in the form of living water. And yet she mockingly rejected it. And because of the words that she used, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw," we know that she had a worldly perspective. Eighthly, earthly water promotes sin. We've already seen in verse 12 how that the woman mocked Jesus Christ. We also see in verses 17 through 18 that the woman intentionally tried to deceive Jesus Christ. And from what we can see in the text, it appears that she was living with another man, which is sin. Now, secondly, Roman numeral 2, Jesus and his living water. As we have already seen, Jesus is using living water as an illustration of salvation. Secondly, we're going to look at the characteristics of Jesus Christ and his living water. Firstly, Jesus willingly goes to lost man. We see that in verses 3 through 4 of John 4, where, "And he must needs go through Samaria." Secondly, we see Jesus Christ waits for lost man. We see that in verses 6 through 7, where Jesus waited at the well. We don't know how long, but he waited there when it was about the sixth hour, which is about noon our time. So the sun was at its brightest, and it was probably pretty hot. And yet he still waited for the woman. Then we see, thirdly, that Christ is willing to provide salvation even when man is not ready to receive it. This woman repeatedly rejected this. You can see this in verses, basically throughout this entire text that we read. And yet he still continued to offer it. Fourthly, Jesus Christ's offer of salvation transcends boundaries. We see that in verse 9, where the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet Jesus, a Jew, still offered salvation to this woman. Fifthly, there are only two waters. There are not three, there's not four, there's not one and a half. There's two. And we see that in verses 6 through 15. Sixthly, living water is the gift of God. It's not a, it is the. We see that in verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God. Seventhly, living water resides with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in basically throughout this entire text. Also, eighthly, he who drinks living water shall be satisfied. We see that in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Ninthly, he who drinks this living water shall have a continuous supply springing up from in him. We see this in verse 14, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then tenthly, this well of water in the one who drinks living water will not just affect him here and now, it will affect him into everlasting life. And we see that in verse 14 again, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Thirdly, Roman numeral 3, lost man drinking Christ's living water. Firstly, Jesus Christ exposed the woman's sin, and we see that in verses 16 through 18. Secondly, the woman tried to divert the attention away from her spiritual condition, and we see that in verses 19 through 20, where this woman, she posed a question to the Lord Jesus Christ about whether men should worship in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, or in Jerusalem. Well, this was a hot debate between the Samaritans and the Jews at this time. And yet she was a woman, apparently deep in sin, who cared nothing for the things of God. And yet she asked this question. So she was trying to divert the attention away from her spiritual condition, since Jesus Christ exposed her sin already. Then, thirdly, Jesus answered her question and used that answer to talk to her about what God wants and requires. And we see that in verses 21 through 24 of the text. Then, fourthly, the woman tried to put off being born again. She said in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. She tells Jesus, the Messiah, that she knows that the Messiah is coming, and that when he is come, he will tell them all things. In this case, it means that he will tell them how to worship God. When she almost certainly knows that the man standing right in front of her is the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah. So she was trying to put off being born again. And then, fifthly, Jesus gives this woman the final thing that will cause her to either continue to reject him or that will cause her to repent and be saved. And we see that in verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And repent simply means to change one's mind, self, actions, path, etc. And then sixthly, the woman repented and was born again. The Bible doesn't expressly say that in verses 26 through 28. But we can tell that because if you'll look in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. She originally came to the well to draw water, and yet she left her water pot. She had a change of priorities. And then, if you look down in verses 28 through 30, she went into the city and she witnessed to the men there. And we know that she witnessed because all three elements of witnessing were there. She told them about what happened to her, about Jesus Christ, and she invited them to come to see Jesus Christ. Then, fourthly, Roman numeral 4, and lastly, after lost man drinks Christ's living water. Firstly, she, the woman at the well, was different. We've already seen that her priorities changed, but we also see that the men at the city listened to her and went to see Jesus. Now, it's doubtful that they would have listened to her if there hadn't been a change, because you have to keep in mind that she had had five husbands, and she was probably already living with a man who was not her husband. So she was probably known around town. And yet, the men still went to see Jesus. That tells me that there was a change in her, something that they saw. Then, secondly, as we've already seen, the woman's priorities changed. She left her water pot again. So we've seen, under this point, that the woman at the well was different. her priorities had changed. And thirdly, we see that she told people about Jesus Christ. And it worked. If you'll look in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And if you look in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So we've seen, number one, Roman numeral one, we've seen lost man in his earthly water. Roman numeral two, we've seen Jesus and his living water. Roman numeral three, we've seen lost man drinking Christ's living water. And then Roman numeral four, we saw after lost man drinks Christ's living water. There's a lot more that could be said about this text, but God has an amazing way of speaking to every single person in the room if they're willing to listen. Maybe you're here tonight. You're like the woman at the well. You're not saved, and you know you're not. After Brother Robert comes and preaches, we're going to have an invitation. You can come tonight, and we'll take you through the scriptures, and we'll show you how to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight. You're not saved. You know it. And you've been acting like you were saved. You were saved, playing the part. Why don't you just come tonight and be saved? We'd all love it if you did. Don't let your pride get in the way. And then maybe you're here tonight, you're saved, you know it, but you're not right with God. Why don't you get right with him tonight? I can assure you it's not worth it to not be right with him. And then maybe you're here tonight, you're saved, you know it, and you're right with God and you know it. Why don't you come tonight and just thank God for giving this living water, for giving his son to die on the cross for you? That is all I have tonight. Let's close in prayer.